Now more than ever. Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price, you want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's, we help, you save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at lowes.com/lowest price guarantee.
This is the podcast where the dark and creepy things we don't talk about discover a voice. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Well, folks, let me ask you something. Ever lived in a house where the walls didn't seem to just hold memories, but secrets? You know, the kind of place where things happen that can't be explained and the air feels just a little too heavy, even on a good day? Today's story comes from one of those homes. And trust me, it's not just a squeaky floorboard or a flickering light bulb kind of haunting. It's the kind that starts small, just enough to make you wonder, and then grows into something that wraps around you tighter and tighter, like ivy on an old building. I'm Tony Bruschi, and this time we're diving into the life of a family who thought they were moving into the perfect home, a brand new split level just outside Boston. Fresh paint, new neighborhood, kids playing outside the works. But this house? It had other plans. From the moment they moved in, it started whispering to them. Not with words, oh no, nothing so straightforward. It used boxes shifting on their own, saws that never existed, and footsteps in empty attics to say, "I'm here." Now here's where it gets interesting. It wasn't just one big moment that made them realize something was off. No, flickering neon sign announcing, "Welcome to the haunted house." Instead, it crept in slowly, like a drip from a faucet you can't quite shut off. A doorknob turning when no one's behind it. A hallway floorboard that creaks all night long, but only when you're trying to sleep. And let's not forget the teeth. Yep, you heard me. Teeth. Right there in the middle of the basement floor, twice. I don't know about you, but if I found random human teeth in my house, I'd be booking it out of there faster than you can say Zillow listing. The thing is, stories like these make you wonder, are places haunted? Or is it the people who carry the haunting with them? Because this family grew up with it. They learned to live with the strange, to sleep with footsteps in the attic, and to ignore the occasional ice-cold child standing by the bed at 3 a.m. And that, my friends, takes a certain kind of nerve, or maybe just a lack of options. So, here's the question we'll explore today. When do you stop brushing things off as just the house settling? And when do you start wondering if the house, or something inside it, has been waiting for you all along? Let's get into it. Dear Tony, I've been thinking about writing to you for a long time, and honestly, I still can't wrap my head around everything that happened in that house, but here we go. I grew up just outside of Boston in what seemed like a perfectly normal split-level house. Nothing fancy, just your typical family home, the kind of place where kids rode bikes down the street and parents chatted over the fence. But from the moment we moved in, strange things started happening. At first, I didn't think much of it. I was just a kid, after all. But looking back, I realized things weren't right from the very beginning. It started small. I remember sitting at my little table in the mudroom coloring when I heard noises from the other side of the basement. It sounded like someone was moving boxes, pushing them across the floor. We had boxes in that part of the basement, so it made sense except for one thing. No one else was down there. I wasn't scared, though. I remember saying, "I know you're in there. I can hear you." And you know what? The noises stopped, for a moment anyway. Then, as if whatever it was wanted me to know it heard me, the boxes started shifting again. And then the real trouble began one night when my sister and I were home with a babysitter. We did what kids do. We shut ourselves in my parents' room and jumped on their bed. At some point, the doorknob started turning like someone was trying to come in, but no one did. The knob turned, released, and turned again. We thought it was the babysitter messing with us, but when we ran out to catch her, she was sitting on the couch exactly where we'd left her. She swore she hadn't moved the whole time. My sister doesn't even remember this, but I do. I'll never forget the way that knob moved, slow and deliberate. A few nights later, I woke to a sound I can only describe as someone sawing wood with a handsaw. The noise was coming from the basement. I was convinced someone had broken into the house. My dog, who was sleeping at the foot of my bed, woke up too, his hair standing on end, growling low in his throat. I called out to my dad, and just like that, the noise stopped. He went down to check, but nothing was out of place. The saw noise never came back, but from that point on, the house always felt alive. One night, I woke up feeling uneasy. I couldn't explain why, but something didn't feel right. The hallway light was on as usual, but the door to my room was slightly closed, just enough to block some of the light. That little sliver of darkness made my skin crawl. I decided to be brave. I crawled down to the foot of my bed and tried to push the door open, but it wouldn't move. I thought maybe one of my toys had gotten wedged in the doorway, so I felt around on the floor. There was nothing there. I scrambled back into bed, heart pounding, and pulled the covers over my head. In the morning, I checked the door again. It moved perfectly, without resistance, just like it always had. To this day, I have no idea what kept it stuck that night. As I got older, the strange events only got weirder. One morning, I woke up to find the lamp on my dresser glowing. It wasn't on when I went to bed, and no one else in the house claimed to have touched it. Another time, I was lying in bed ready to sleep when I heard a strange mechanical sound. When I turned on the light, I saw that it was coming from the tape recorder my dad had given me. It was jammed, making a strange buzzing noise as if someone had almost pressed the record button but stopped just short. And then there was the record player. I'd borrowed a book from my sister's room one afternoon, and when I went to return it, I heard a scratching noise behind me. The small record player in the corner, which we only used for 45s, was spinning at 78 RPM with the needle scraping against the plastic turntable. None of us had touched it. I tried telling my mom, but she brushed it off, assuming one of my sisters had been playing with it earlier, but I knew better. My sisters hadn't been home all day. Then there were the footsteps. They'd start slow, deliberate, moving through the attic or down the hallway. Always late at night when the house was quiet. I remember lying in bed listening to them, knowing no one was there, but unable to convince myself it was just the house settling. Even our dog knew something was off. He'd pace the kitchen growling at nothing, as if he could sense something none of us could see. It wasn't just noises either. One summer night, after we got home from a party in New Hampshire, I heard footsteps outside. Our windows were open, and it sounded like someone was walking slowly across the gravel driveway. I got up to check, but no one was there. I closed the windows, thinking that would stop the noise, but it didn't. The footsteps kept going, even though there was no one outside. I still remember the sound, steady, deliberate, and just wrong. Things escalated one afternoon when I went down to the mud room to grab something from the freezer. Right in the middle of the room, I found a tooth, a small white incisor. At first, I thought it might belong to one of my sisters, but when I showed it to my parents, they were just as confused as I was. We asked everyone, neighbors, friends, but no one had lost a tooth recently. And here's where it gets even weirder. Exactly 1 year later, I found another tooth in the same spot, same size, same type, sitting right in the middle of the floor. To this day, no one can explain where those teeth came from. Finding the second tooth rattled me more than I like to admit. I mean, what are the chances? Two identical teeth found exactly 1 year apart in the same spot. I kept trying to convince myself there was a logical explanation. Maybe my sisters were playing a prank on me, or maybe the teeth had fallen out of an old box we hadn't unpacked, but deep down I knew that wasn't it. Around the same time, I started noticing a figure, a tall, shadowy outline of a man with no features. The first time I saw him, I was heading down the stairs to the basement. He seemed to glide toward me from the other side of the room. I froze, shut my eyes, and when I opened them again, he was gone. I convinced myself it was my imagination. But a few months later, I saw him again. This time he was outlined against the chimney of the house across the street. And Tony. The figure grew. It started off small, then stretched taller and taller until it reached a size no human could possibly be. That was when I stopped dismissing things as coincidences. One of the most terrifying nights happened during a game of hide-and-seek with some friends. I decided to hide in the closet of my sister's room, the same room where I'd had that strange experience with the stuck door. As I crouched inside, I heard footsteps above me in the attic. Slow, heavy footsteps pacing back and forth. I bolted out of the closet, dragging my friends outside with me. We stood there, breathless and confused. Then all at once, the footsteps started again, this time louder. Before we could even process what was happening, the rotary phone in the kitchen ripped off the wall, dangling by its cord. That was enough for us. We ran out of the house, shoving each other down the stairs in a blind panic. My dad wasn't immune to the weirdness either. He told me once about waking up in the middle of the night to hear someone calling his name, but it wasn't his full name. It was a childhood nickname that no one had used in years. Another time, he woke up to see a child standing beside his bed. Thinking it was one of us, he reached out to touch its head. He said it felt ice cold, like touching metal left out in the winter. He blinked, and the child was gone. When I asked him years later why he never let me sleep in his room when I was scared, he said it was because I needed to confront my fear. According to him, the strange things only had power if we gave them attention. If we ignored them, they'd eventually fade. At least, that's what he believed. I'm still not sure if he was right. Then there was the night I heard the footsteps on the gravel driveway again. I was older by then, and the fear didn't hit me quite as hard as it used to. I got out of bed, listened carefully, and tried to tell myself it was just some neighborhood kids messing around, but it wasn't. I knew that sound too well by then. It was deliberate, slow, steady, and far too familiar. Years later, I dug into the history of the area. I found out the neighborhood used to be dense woods, and there had been a huge fire there in the early 1900s. People lost everything, and some even died in the blaze. We used to find strange artifacts in the old dump by the river. Charred objects, arrowheads, and horseshoes. It made me wonder if something from the past had been stirred up when the houses were built. Maybe whatever haunted us wasn't tied to the house itself, but to the land. But here's the thing that haunts me the most, Tony. We never really figured out what it was. It wasn't just one spirit, and it didn't fit neatly into any box, ghost, poltergeist, or residual energy. It felt like a mix of everything. The kind of presence that lingers in the background, waiting for a moment of fear to latch onto. And that's exactly what it did. Even now, I think back on those nights and wonder if it's really over. Sure, the house quieted down as we got older, but I've always had this nagging feeling that we didn't get rid of it. We just stopped feeding it. And sometimes, late at night, when the house is too quiet, I catch myself listening for footsteps. Just in case. Thanks for reading, Tony. I don't know if I'll ever have all the answers, but getting this off my chest helps. I hope it gives you something to think about, too. All the best, Charlie. Well, folks, that one has all the right ingredients for a classic haunting, doesn't it? A basement filled with shifting boxes, footsteps in the attic, cold phantom kids at the bedside, and, my personal favorite, teeth showing up in the middle of the floor. Twice. Yeah, that's not something you just brush off with, oh, must have misplaced it. So, what's going on here? On one hand, we've got what sounds like good old-fashioned poltergeist activity, things moving, electronics malfunctioning, and a sense that something's feeding off fear. Now, if you've read up on poltergeists, you know they're often tied to young people going through big emotional changes. The kind of energy that kids and teenagers give off can sometimes stir things up. Could that explain the footsteps, the weird sounds, and the jammed tape recorder? Maybe. But then there's the land. Fires, old woods, strange artifacts from the past. Those things have a way of leaving an imprint. Some say energy lingers, attaching itself to places or objects, waiting for the right people to come along. Maybe Charlie's family just happened to stumble into the perfect storm. A house with its own quirks, sitting on land scarred by history. And once they started noticing the oddities, the activity ramped up, feeding off their attention. And we can't forget Charlie's dad, the skeptic with nerves of steel, or at least he pretended to have them. His theory was simple: ignore it and it goes away. And to some extent, he might have been onto something. Fear is a powerful thing. It gives life to shadows that otherwise wouldn't exist. But ignoring something isn't the same as dealing with it. And sometimes the things we try to bury don't stay buried. Now here's the part that sticks with me. That figure. Tall, featureless, and growing larger until it became impossibly big. That doesn't sound like any ordinary spirit. And the teeth, twice in the same spot, exactly a year apart. What kind of haunting plays the long game like that? Maybe it wasn't just a poltergeist. Maybe it was something older, something tied to the land itself. Spirits tied to trauma don't always make themselves known right away. They can wait, watching, until the moment feels just right to remind you they're still there. So what do you think? Was it just coincidence and creaky floorboards? Or did something from the past find a new home with Charlie's family, waiting for the right moments to surface? So I'll tell you one thing, though. If I ever find a random tooth lying around, I'm not sticking around long enough to see if a second one shows up. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening. And hey, if you've got footsteps in your attic tonight, so, well, maybe it's just the wind, or maybe it's not. Sleep tight.
Want more ghost stories of the paranormal? Press subscribe now wherever you get podcasts. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day, all year long. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.